the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is episode number 241 of the Golf Podcast, and we're going to talk about a topic that is pretty much on everybody's mind right now. We're going to talk about how to get the most out of your game when you're playing in that really wet, soggy conditions. And I think this is something that people are experiencing pretty much everywhere right now, especially in the Northeast. Everywhere I go, Mike, everyone's kind of lamenting about it. Rains every day.
It's wet out there, man. Everywhere.
It is. And proof of that is the image of you standing in that water-soaked bunker from our video at New York Country Club a couple of weeks ago. I feel like every round has been like that lately.
Oh, it has. And you know what we call this? We call this CPO season. And I don't mean certified pre-owned. I mean cart path only. All right. And it's annoying, but hey, it is what it is. But it is that season. Soft ground, wet, soggy conditions, you know, tough, lots of chunk shots, muddy cleats. Yep. I mean, that's the season we're in. Unfortunately, that's the hand we're dealt right now. But if we want to play golf, we got to go out there and brave the elements. So I'm excited to hear about this because I have a feeling you and I are going to need these tips over the next few weeks.
Dude, that's just it. I mean, we'll talk about changing expectations. We'll talk about how to make better ball contact. We're going to talk about a lot of that stuff. But reality is we don't have the luxury right now of sitting it out when it's wet because, well, A, it feels like it's raining every day. But also, B, we're facing down some cold weather coming our way. I hear tonight here where I'm at, it's supposed to drop down almost 30 degrees. So, you know, you feel that impending winter coming and we're trying to get every round we can in. But I am very excited because you and I are going to get out there. Hopefully no frost delays. Friday morning, we're playing right. Black Bear, right?
That's right. Playing Black Bear. That's one of the Crystal Springs you have not played.
I have not played there yet.
And it's a tough little track, man. It really is. I've never played well there, but then again, I haven't been there in 3 years, and I'm a much different golfer than I was 3 years ago.
Right.
So, you know, with the new swing, with the improved handicap, better game, better mental game, better clubs, I have a feeling, you know, it could be really scoreable there. I mean, it's not that difficult as far as turns or bends. A lot of the holes are straight. But there is a lot of, you know, threat out there with greens surrounded by water. And tight fairways. And if you go in the woods, you can't just kind of punch it out. It's one of those, you know, you're in. It's lost ball. It's OB.
Yeah.
So it's one of those courses. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if we could fight this cold. I know it's 32 degrees at tee off. It's 7:34 a.m. Friday morning, man.
We are ambitious with that early tee time on a day that cold. And I tell you what, I played my usual early tee time last weekend, 7:30 tee off, because it used to be 6:30 they let us off, but now as it's getting, you know, later in the season, it's later and later. So 7:30 we tee off. It's 39 degrees. Everything is soaked. We actually had some flooding conditions. The course flooded the one day. The river came all the way across the first fairway, but that subsided enough that you could get back out there. And everything is soaked, and they also punched the greens. So
yeah,
that was just a sloppy, brutal. Sloppy day.
You had the trifecta right there. But let me ask you a question. If the greens were fine and the ground was dry and you just dealt with that cold, how was it? How it would have been okay?
Oh, it would have been fine just dealing with the cold. I mean, it's the wet cold that's tough. I think at one point I couldn't feel my feet. You know, it just kind of like seeps into everything. And we'll talk about that too, about like kind of like wearing the right thing when you're out there. But the hard part was the greens. And honestly, you know, we track our stats as so closely now, especially we'll talk about that more in the stat segment in a second. But it you know, you have those rounds that kind of just throw it off. You know, I had three putts that day. And, you know, it is what it is. When you have those huge, because what happened was they punched the greens and they used those bigger plugs this time. You know, sometimes in the season they can do the smaller ones. And then they laid down the sand, which is supposed to fill the plugs, but then we had the torrential rains and it washed the sand away. So now you had these greens that looked like Swiss cheese almost. You know, they'll bounce back fairly quickly, but we're hitting the ball and you had no idea where it was going to go. It was like Plinko. This thing was bouncing all around. So again, I'm not going to get upset about it. You just like redo your expectations. Be like, I don't expect to drain a lot of putts that day. So you just do the best you can, enjoy it, have fun with it. And that's what we did. So it was fun. It was good to get out there. Aside from that, real quick, I want to just talk about, this was an incredibly exciting week. We got to announce our winners of our two big contests that we had going on right now on YouTube, our 5K giveaway, which we gave away a $250 Golf Galaxy gift card, and our TS driver giveaway. Big congrats to Eric and Kaylin, our winners. Huge thank you to our sponsors, Titleist. Big thank you to Kevin Sprecher, who donated his time for a fitting. We're trying to get in touch with Kaylin, who's our winner, to see if he wants to come out and do that fitting. But we're going to have a lot more to come, right, Mike?
Yes, we are. And as you're saying that, I just got a text message from Sprecher who says, Mike, I got to give you a call tomorrow. I got to pick your brain about something. Okay. Ooh. Interesting. Picking my brain.
It's usually us picking his brain.
Yeah, I know. I'm very confused. I don't know. But yeah, these giveaways are awesome. We have a ton coming. I know we don't want to give too much away, but I do want to share that, you know, we have some exciting ones. Not only the ShotScope one, we're giving away a full ShotScope system. That's at on our YouTube page. Watch that video. That was at New York Country Club. By the time this episode drops, Frank, we'll probably have about a week and a half left of that giveaway. And then we're talking about giving away potentially a new bag to somebody, maybe. Yep. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And maybe the 10K giveaway is right around the corner on YouTube, Frank. That should be here, you know, before we know it. So lots of good stuff coming up.
Yeah, guys, stay tuned for all that stuff. And thank you to everybody who participated. And what I wanted to make sure everyone knew was, like, if you didn't win, because a lot of people are commenting, like, oh, darn, I didn't win. Just stay with it, because, like I said, we're going to try to do a giveaway like almost every new video that we put out. We'll try to find something that we can give back to you guys. And for the Titleist driver, the TS driver, I think we had over 2,000 entries. We were already up to, I think, 1,200 or 1,300 entries for the ShotScope. So everybody who participates, big thank you to you guys, because you're the reason why we're able to do this. And you're the reason why we're able to get more of these products from these great sponsors and donors who are giving us stuff that we're able to give back. And then there's some stuff that you and I just kick in and throw back to you guys as well, as much as we can as a thank you. But speaking of the ShotScope, another big thing, I want to just kind of tease it here. We'll have all the details for you guys really soon. But if you don't have one yet, you know, get it. Use the Golficity code, which you can go to shotscope.com/golficity, get $40 off. That brings the whole system down to like $200. I think it's like $203 or $205. But anyway, we're working with ShotScope, and they're going to be helping us create very specific, you know, for the Golficity Army leaderboards, which we're going to put on Golficity. And it's going to be this fun little competition. You know, you guys, a lot of you have played in our virtual open. We have a lot of fun with that every year. But this is going to be kind of like a running leaderboard we're going to do for different achievements and different things that you guys do. Because the great part about it is it's tracking those stats for you. You guys saw in the video the medals we did and things like that. So we're going to create this custom leaderboard, and we're going to be doing monthly giveaways for people on the leaderboard. So this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to this. So stay tuned for that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a perfect lead in. Let's talk about it. Let's dive into our stats segment, which is brought to you as always by ShotScope. You know, the ShotScope V2, it's the only GPS watch on the market that combines GPS distances to greens and hazards with automatic performance tracking. Think of it like this, guys. It's like having a GPS, you know, watch, but also performance tracking. It's all done in the watch. All you do, you wear the V2 just like any other watch. You play your golf round like normal. You use it as a GPS as you're out there playing, but the magic, it happens in the background. There's no phone needed. All right. Once you download those courses to the watch, the watch handles everything. It handles GPS. It tags with the clubs automatically. There's no manual tagging. It's just hands off. You do your thing, and it's all being tracked. Hundreds of stats, the stats that we dive into here. And like I said before, as golf podcast listeners, you can get $40 off by going to shotscope.com/golficity, or you can use the coupon code golficity at checkout. So Mike, that said, what stats are we diving into today?
Okay. I love when, you know, you keep just adding rounds to this thing and you just keep seeing your stats, you know, create a pattern, you know, then you start, you know, after you get 5, 7, the sample size is getting bigger and bigger, and it's great. So the things you can identify that you're doing right and the things that you're doing wrong are now kind of staring me in the face here. And it's cool. I check this thing out. Like if I can't sleep, you know, if I have trouble sleeping, I'll like check out my shot scope stats and just see like, you know, what's going on in my game. So here's what I thought could be fun tonight. Let's do this. Let's identify that one thing that's working in our game and then that one thing that's not. And we won't get too detailed about it because that will just take up way too much time. We'll be short and sweet. So for me, here's what's working. I am making 88% of my short putts and 44% of my medium putts, like those 15 footers. Mm-hmm. But get this, Frank, I three putt only 4% of my total putts. So that means my lag putting is working. That's my money. You know, that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
I'm not doing much more than two putts right now. What's hurting is greens and regulation. I hit 16% of greens from the rough and 24% from the fairway. Overall, it's like 18%. So I have to work on target practice. And I love that that was just told to me through this app. It's cool. What about you?
No, you know what? I'm actually glad you brought that up. I'm looking at it too. My GIR is also hurting. You know, I'm 25% on the season. I can see like that's one of those areas where a small uptick can mean a really big change in score. So I can look to improve that as well. But as far as like what stands out individually at my game, I jump over to tee shots. I'm looking at this. Again, it continues to be that miss left. What I would say is I have become more accurate. And as you said, as this thing gathers more data, we have more that we can work with. So as I'm seeing it, I'm seeing the trend is the good news is I am hitting more fairways. You saw me in the TS driver video, how, you know, dialing that in improve my accuracy. But there's only so much a club can do. There's still the Indian and the arrow, so to speak, right? So I'm right now currently missing 40% of my tee shots left. I'm hitting 35% of my fairways and I'm missing right about 25% of the time. So I got to find that way to continue to work on bringing those left misses into the middle. And that's one thing that the big things that we're going to try to do is work on things over the winter. Like you said, like we want to identify what's wrong. I want to get in there. We're going to be doing a couple of different types of indoor lessons, and we may even get hooked up to some really cool equipment to show us what we're doing. So that'll all be coming up soon. But I'm going to, you know, as I work with different people, different coaches and things, that's one thing that I can now bring this to them, you know, especially if somebody new, they don't know my game, I can show them this and they can say, oh, okay, that's something we can work on. So I really want to hone in on that. I want to work on improving those left misses off the tee, because I've also identified that when I do hit that fairway, I am scoring a lot better. I'm hitting more greens in regulation on the versus the days when I'm not hitting fairways. So that's a big one for me.
Dude, it's so cool. I love it. You don't waste time with your golf game. It's cool. It's great. It's great having these stats. I'm glad that we do this.
Yeah.
So once again, that's ShotScope. Check it out. You're going to want to. Frank, before we go into the main topic tonight, I want to give a shout out. I love when Facebook group members or emails come in of just fans of the show, people who are improving, things like that. So this one came in the Facebook group. It was just a post on from Jeremy McLean. He said, hey, I'm a junior golfer. I'm a 23 handicap. Love the podcast. Love what you guys are doing. I need some tips on making more putts and adjusting to a thick putter grip. Jeremy, first of all, thank you. Thanks for tuning in. This is great because I can identify quickly three episodes, and you probably went back and maybe listened to some of these, if not all of them. Episode 182, four keys to a deadly putter stroke. Mm-hmm. And then Frank, episode 23, we did explaining the different putter grip styles. Remember all those?
Right.
That was always a good one. And then of course, one of my favorites for putting, even more recent, was episode 213. And that was titled How to Drain More Putts. So Jeremy, thanks for the note. Check those out.
And I think a question I would have for Jeremy is why does it sound like he's working on adjusting to a thick putter grip? It almost sounds like it's something that it's kind of been thrust upon him, so to speak. If that thick putter grip, if maybe it's a club you got from somebody or you bought it thinking it might work, if that doesn't work, don't hesitate to change it up. I mean, of all the equipment expenses, just changing your grip is usually not you know, too terrible. Remember, like those bigger, thicker putter grips are often for guys who need to take their hands out of the swing a little bit. So they use that. But if you're not super handsy, if that's not your problem, then you may not need to work on that. I've been working a ton on my putting. I actually had found something new just the other day. I was working with the putt out, which I like doing just like at night. I'll just, you know, kind of putt indoors and whatever. And I happened to have my father was around, and he's just kind of hanging out in the other room watching TV, and he glances over and he's like, "You're hitting off the toe. You're not hitting the sweet spot." And I'm like, "Whoa, what?" And he's like, he like secretly videotaped me with his, you know, so I wouldn't alter anything with his phone. And then he showed me, he's like, look how far out you're hitting. And then I was thinking about it later. And I also had randomly come across something on Instagram, where Tiger was talking about how he does that thing where, you know, you take your putter stance and then you take a ball from your eye and you drop it down to see where it lands. Mm-hmm. And that's where it should be. And then I realized, yes, somewhere along the line, I had changed my stance and I wasn't standing over the ball properly. So I was hitting out further on the club. And remember, we went through the whole putter fitting in order to work that.
Right.
But if I change my stance, you know, it throws that out of whack. So before my last round, I went out and I did that. And then I noticed I was standing too far from the ball. So I kind of moved in a little bit and I was starting to hit that sweet spot again. So it's always a good idea to recheck in on your fundamentals. And I think that's a great point, Mike. Those episodes is where we really talk about that and dive into it. But I love that idea and that tip of just take your stance, just take a ball, you know, up to your eye, drop it straight down and see where it lands. And if it, yeah, you know, if it's landing too far out or too far in, you may be standing too close or too far from the ball.
I like that. Interesting.
Yeah. So that did really help me. It was a good one to try out.
Yeah. I love it. All right. So Jeremy, thanks for that note. As always, you know, we say it all the time. If you're not there already, just join the Golf City Army, join that free Facebook group. I mean, we have a lot of fun. We just closed in on 1200 loyal soldiers, as we like to call them. And the conversations, they never get old, Frank. It's a cool community. We're having a lot of fun there. Guys are becoming friends. I love all like the meetups, people yes. hanging out, yeah. You know, it's cool. It's so cool to see that. I mean, that's what we're all about. So love it. We're going to talk wet weather, but we got to thank Titleist. So we're proud to have Titleist as a key sponsor to the Golf Podcast. We've been gaming those TS drivers now for quite a while. I think 5 or 6 rounds. And you know, Frank, I couldn't be more happier. You talk about your success all the time. I mean, you're loving it. You're still gaming it. No problems on your end, right?
Dude, and you know what? You guys heard me talk about it here, you know, gaining 12 miles an hour ball speed, 20 yards in total distance. But what I've been enamored with was people, you know, even posting in the Facebook group, and guys will be, you know, they'll be straight up. They'll be like, listen, I was a doubter that you could have this much improvement. But then they'll say they hit the TS. And one guy I remember in the group said he picked up 25 yards.
Wow.
And you're just seeing it. You're seeing that the speed, like we've seen a lot where Titleist talked about the speed that they've built into it. And for me, you know, being a longtime fan of Titleist, I love seeing what they're doing. I like that they're, you know, getting that R&D, you know, involved, and they're really looking for ways that they can also compete on that distance. And this is actually like, it's a perfect fit in that. So it's really great. And you can get fit so easily for these drivers and the fairway metals at golf shops, courses nationwide. And believe me, they're worth trying. You know, if you are skeptical, then you're the guy I want you to get in there, you know, get in there, try it, swing it. You'll know in a minute what you're picking up, because mm-hmm. nowadays we've got the benefits of you know, Trackmans and everything else that can really accurately measure, and we can see if we're hitting the ball any further. But the fitting, there's a huge value in that. I think a large part of why I got that distance was getting dialed in. Check out those Titleist Thursdays. That's a great way to do that for free. And you can read more on the TS line at Titleist.com. You can schedule that fitting like we talked about near you. So check out the website to find that Titleist fitter closest to you. And all that information, it's on the website. You can't miss it.
And Frank, real quick, that was Michael Lehman in the Facebook group.
Oh, good. You found it.
He said, "Team, I went and tried out the new Titleist driver and compared it to my 917 I bought last year. Wow. I thought it was a gimmick, but it is not. It's the 917 on steroids, and I added 15 to 25 yards of total distance." So there it is.
There you go. 25 yards. That's a great way to put it, you know, on steroids, because it really did. They took a good driver and they just made it outstanding with the changes that they made. I mean, it's a top to bottom overhaul, but you get what I mean. It's just, it really made a big difference. So check that out. All right, let's talk about our main topic today, which is playing in wet weather. It's unavoidable. You know, we can't all just be playing perfect conditions all the time. So there's a couple things that's going to come into it. There's preparation, there's expectations, there's different types of things. But let's start with preparation. I mean, Mike, you probably more than anybody I know, you're like the weather guy. Like you have a tee time coming up. I know you're checking it. I don't even bother checking. I just ask you. I'm like, well, how's the weather look for our round? And you're like, you've got it down.
Yep. I already told you, man. 32 degrees Friday morning. You know, cloudy. Sun won't come up till 8. It's probably about the fourth hole if we're lucky enough to get out there on time. But yeah, man, I always check the weather. Got to be prepared out there for sure.
Got it. You know,
and
there's always
going to
be something that sneaks up on you, which is why I kind of like, in the past I've done this. I take like one of those very light, waterproof like windbreakers, and I kind of like fold one up and keep it in the bag for those just in case situations. But when you know, so let's say you check the weather, you know it's going to rain, but you're teeing off either way. Like, what do you do? Like apparel wise, how do you prep?
So I know the rain is coming. So
you know it's coming. How are you dressing that day?
All right. So I don't own rain pants. I just don't have those rainproof pants. So I will just wear basic golf pants. I will put on like a rain jacket. You know, I do have some of those skiing type, you know, thin rain jackets that I will put on over top, and then I'll try to put on the it's funny, there's no hat that's the driest hat, but you know, I'll try to just cover the head. And you know, majority of the time, Frank, I just try not to play, you know, sit in the cart, try to wait it out. But you know, if it's gonna be one of those all day golf things, I usually won't even show up to the course. First and foremost.
Well, I mean, that's if it's raining the whole time. But when we say wet too, the other side of that, it's very often it's that it rained all day the day before, or overnight, and everything is just soaked, but you're not, you know, getting wet at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's the days where like my biggest change, I'll just make sure that, you know, I've got, you know, probably three or four different pair of golf shoes, and different ones are better for different things. Like I'll just break out like the Dry Joys on those days, because I just know like it's going to be miserable round. If you know, you got some of those like much lighter, cooler for like hot day golf shoes that just like the water goes right through them. Right. If I'm walking around wet feet, man, my round is messed up.
Yeah.
So I like that. Keeps everything bone dry. Same thing with like pants. If it's something that's like, cause you know that you always get that one guy like where it's like those pants are not waterproof at all, and that you just see the water like just wicking up his leg.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's just like starting to soak up from the rough, and it's just like going up and up, and all of a sudden by like the fourth hole, you're wet to your knees, you know, any of that type of stuff. Tough. You know, if you can avoid it with just some planning. But the other things that I think are a big thing planning wise is, whenever I see it's going to be wet, I like to throw an extra towel in the bag just so I have something dry and something, because you're going to be wiping a lot of mud off your, you know, clubs. You're going to be trying to dry your hands. And the other thing is, and if this topic at all sounds familiar to maybe some of our longtime listeners, we actually covered this. We're revisiting this topic. We covered this way, way, way back in episode 6. So for anyone who missed that, the tip that I gave there, which is a tip that I hold on to this day, that my old high school golf coach shared with me, is he said, very easy to take one or two of the like washcloth, you know, those small size towels. They're maybe like, you know, 8x8 inch square. And just tuck them in one of the dry pockets, or if you don't have that, maybe even in a Ziploc bag, and throw it in there. So you know you've got like one or two of these dry towels. They work wonders on those super, super wet days. You can actually wrap them around the grip of the club. Mm-hmm. And if you're really having trouble like holding on to it, just that little bit will make a huge difference, and you'll be able to swing. Because on those really wet days, sometimes you have trouble holding on to it. You can use it just to dry the grip before your swing, but if it's super soaking wet, you can wrap that around the grip and just play that way. So that's a tip that I've always kind of held on to, and it's bailed me out of a couple of tough spots.
Do you carry an umbrella in your bag?
Always, yeah. The only time I'll take it out sometimes is the days when we play with a caddy, and if it's 0% chance of rain. We did that when we played Ridgewood. I try to lighten the bag up a little bit because I feel bad somebody, you know, huffing around a heavy bag. I remember when I got out and you know, the bag drop, I was like, is any chance of rain today? And the guy's like, 0%. I took the you know, the umbrella out and threw it in the trunk. Yeah.
Well, you know, not too long ago, the people over at Weatherman, they sent me a umbrella with, you see these smart umbrellas?
I saw you were sharing a little bit of that with like
this isn't a paid endorsement, but I want to give them a shout out because it's pretty cool. I'm actually holding it right now. It has this tracker in it, which I guess there's an app on your phone. I didn't download the app, but it'll alert you if rain is coming. It's crazy. It's
the umbrella?
Yeah,
umbrella over there.
I got a smart ride. It's a Ryder. It's a USA Ryder Cup umbrella, and it's huge and it's very durable. But I've never carried an umbrella in my bag, you know. But this one's going in the bag for sure now.
Yeah,
I've never been an umbrella guy. I've just, you know, when rain comes, I'm the type of guy, like when rain comes, you know, I sit it out. But when the wet weather, I prefer wind. It's weird to hear this, but I prefer wind over wet.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll take a dry ground, windy day over wet. I don't know. That's just me. I know a lot of people say no way. I can't play in the wind at all. But
yeah, well, they each present their challenges, and I think a big part of the wet, and this is what we'll talk about in a second, is ball contact, because you naturally have a very steep swing, so like a really wet turf is one of those instances where you can end up really kind of digging in.
Yep.
You know, and that can be a real challenge. And I have a similar type of challenge with that. So kind of like just switching gears and talking about that. One thing that is so key in wet weather is to really focus on ball contact. Here's a situation where I would no doubt I will sacrifice distance for solid contact on these days, because you guys know this shot. It's like, it's a terrible feeling when, you know, it's very wet. The ground is soaked. It's like a sponge, right? And, you know, it could be the fairway or whatever. And you're 100, you know, your usual 160 shot, you got your 7 iron in your hand, right? That's my 160 club or my 165 club. And you just catch it just a little bit behind the ball. And it just digs into the wet turf, just grabs it and just kind of digs down. And then here's, you know, the shot that you're planning on going 160 travels about 50 yards, you know.
Yeah,
that is just like the worst feeling. And that's where, you know, it's because when you have conditions that are that wet, the margin for error goes down to zero. You know, if it was nice and dry and whatever, there you've got a little bit more leeway. So let's say you do, you know, make a little bit of contact behind the ball on a day that's nice and dry. There you may get the club just might nicely glide across the turf and you don't lose a whole lot. You know, we've talked extensively before about the importance of, in general, like really good, you know, ball striking is hitting the ball first, then the ground. But you have a little bit more leeway on those days when the conditions are nice. When it's wet, that goes out the door. You don't have that leeway. You've got to make contact with that ball first. And then what happens with the ground, you may take a huge divot. It is what it is after the fact, but the ball is already sailing on its way. So a good thing to do in that situation is just dial the swing back a little bit. Even if you need to club up, just dial it back. I like to dial it back. And my swing thought those days will become like maybe a 3/4 swing and just focus on picking it nice and clean. And if you do that, it's going to be a lot more reliable and more predictable, you know, because you're going to know, like if it's a 3/4 swing, it's not going to travel as far, but it's going to be the predictability comes in the fact that, you know, you're going to make contact with it. Where predictability goes out the window is when you make contact with that ground first, and then you don't know, all bets are off. You know, at that point, the club's made contact with the ground, a whole lot of things can happen, but you're introducing a lot of, you know, a lot of variables there in wet ground, because it's just going to dig in like the mud and just forget about it. So we've talked extensively about this on the show before, about ball contact. We said a large part of it is about balance. But I think the adjustment you make that day and the mental adjustment is if you need to dial it back a little bit and just focus on making nice solid contact, it's going to go a long way. And that same thing travels right up to, you know, chipping around the green. You know, there's an area where if you're a type of person who usually likes to chip with a very very high lofted club, like let's say you're 60 or something like that, remember, you know, bounce and things like that are going to come a lot more into play when impacting a much softer ground. So in that case, you may want to dial that back a little bit. Maybe instead of, you know, trying to chip with your 60, you know, try to chip with like a a pitching wedge, a 43 degree,
yeah, I like that.
48 degree. And it gives you a little bit more where you can kind of like slide instead of just digging in. Because that 60 often has a very sharp edge that just goes right into the ground. So that you gotta factor those things in and make those changes. It's all about, you know, having a smart approach to it. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but let me tell you something. My mental game, it just gets completely annihilated. Just knowing and standing over or on wet, soggy fairway turf, like I just know the whole time that I'm chunking this ball, yeah. And it's, you know, it's a tough way to play because you lose confidence. Yeah. You know, it's hard to play in these conditions. Everyone
will
say
that's exactly it. I think if you set that expectation, because people just sometimes think like if it's got, you know, any day. I'm just going to try to go low. But the reality is, you know, kind of like rework that and just say, listen, I'm obviously not going to shoot my best round in soaking wet conditions. I'm just going to try to, you know, play the course as best as I can that day. And if it was a tournament, it would affect the whole field similarly. That's what I like about golf. We're all playing versus the same, you know, course.
Right.
But I think when you're doing that, you know, full swing, like really dialing into it, the conditions kind of have to be really great for that to really work. And I think this is something that you see a lot of amateur golfers do. I'm guilty of it very often. We, you know, we'll take the club out. That's kind of like the max distance. So like, for instance, I talk about like my 7-iron be my 165 club. So if I'm 165, I pull out my 7-iron, but that's not thinking it all the way through. That just because that's kind of like the max distance I hit it doesn't mean it's the distance I hit it every time. So now factor in, you know, a bad lie or different types of conditions like this. Now the chances of me hitting it perfect and carrying it the full distance are greatly reduced. Mm-hmm. So it's a great part where you can get a little bit more selective with your clubs. You know, instead of being so aggressive and trying to squeeze like every yard out of that shot, sometimes it's smarter just to take one more club and just focus on a little bit less aggressive swing and a solid contact. You know, what you're really looking to do is avoid those big divots and that steep contact. Because steep contact, it's going to kill you on those really, really soggy, wet days.
You know what's interesting, Frank? I'm trying to think about this. When the last time that you and I played a full round of golf when the weather wasn't like perfect, when it wasn't good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I'm and if it's, here's the funny part. I actually, as you were talking, I had to go to our YouTube page just to look at all the times we played together, because every time we play together, we film it. Yep. So that's an easy way to remember. And it's funny, I'm going back now and I see the last time we played at New York Country Club, it was a swamp. We went to Crystal and it was freezing and wet, the ground.
Yep.
And then we were at Sleepy Hollow for the playing lesson with Kevin and it rained all morning and it was getting, you know,
no carts. We had to take the caddies, right?
We had to take the caddies. And then I'm going back and I'm like, you know what? It was Ridgewood.
Yeah.
So we haven't had a round, you know, that had good quality conditions since, I think, July.
And that's the thing. And that's
why that's the thing.
It shows
that's
that
why it's important.
It benefits you to learn this rather than avoid it. I mean, it becomes such a huge part of your game, especially if you like if you're not living in Arizona and playing like perfect, you know, conditions 7 months of the year, you know, it just you have to factor this in. And here in the Northeast, the spring is always sloppy and the fall is always sloppy. And then the you know, the summer is kind of a crapshoot of what type of weather you're going to get. So I think it's something that if you can learn it and you can learn this, it's going to really help you. It's going to really help you because you can deploy it when you're out there.
And here's a fun fact. We did this episode 6, and I think you mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned this, episode 6, we covered this. And so we're kind of bringing it back to life 4.5 years later, 239 episodes later. And I love it because it's still important.
It's exactly it. And that's what I've been enjoying about every once in a while, periodically revisiting these old episodes.
Yes.
Because as you said before, our game has changed so much. We've adapted to so many different things. We learn things new that we can do and apply to it that I didn't even think of back then by just getting more rounds in and getting more experience versus the weather. So it was something that was worth revisiting. I think that's the most important thing is really trying to focus on that contact. Just just dial it back a little bit. You'll be surprised what it'll do. The only other thing I want to talk about too is the greens. Obviously, I think this goes without saying, they're going to be a lot slower in wet conditions. So a little bit of time on the practice green, getting an idea of what the putting surface is going to be like that day. Getting to know that. I do like sometimes when it's wet conditions, I kind of like it for my approaches because I can get a little bit more aggressive. When we were playing out there this weekend, it was like, forget even rollout. It was like wherever you hit on the green, it was plugged, you know? So you, right. It was going to stay there. So I could get a little bit more aggressive than I might normally do as far as carrying it into the green. You know, when we play those, the courses in July, as you said, Mike, and it's really hot and it's been dry for some time. Sometimes I'm not even going for greens. I'm landing balls 5-8 yards short of the green and letting it roll on, because it's so dry. But you got to adjust that. You've got to change that mindset, understanding it's soft. But that's, you know, that's a dynamic of this game I love so much. It's not like, let's say, basketball. The court is the same no matter what city you play in, where you are, whatever. You know, it's a basketball court. You know, but here with golf, you have to adapt. You have to change your approach and your game to different conditions that are changed by the weather. It's like, you know, it's like football, right? It's like you see those really, really rainy, wet, like when I used to play in high school, we just knew if it was soaking, if everything was soaking wet, it was going to be a ground attack. You know, we were going to run the ball a lot more than pass it. Same thing with golf. You got to adjust. You got to change your approach and the way you go after it.
No, it makes total sense. I mean, I'm actually curious to hear how other people out there prepare for this, because maybe I'm not preparing correctly, because I'm never prepared for the sloppy conditions. I don't think about it. I just think about the game. I think about getting there on time, getting my range work in, and then all of a sudden I get to the first tee and I'm like, oh, it's wet out here. Oh, it's car path only. Oh man. Oh no. You know, I'm like, my whole game, my focus just shifts.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, maybe it's something I got to prep a little bit more mentally and you know, pack the bag accordingly.
Right. And look, you can't face, or you can't excel at a challenge if you don't know what that challenge is. So I think that's the first part, is like addressing it, thinking about it. Okay, what is this going to mean for, what are these conditions going to mean for my ball flight? What are these conditions going to mean for my carry, my distances, that type of stuff. So I think that's important, but I like what you said. So let's do that. Anybody, if you've got your own tips, whether it be style of play, approach, even just apparel or whatever. Like I had my tip about the bringing a towel along. Let us know, post them in the Facebook group. And I'd love to hear them. So that's an important one, but let's wrap it up, Mike, because, we got to start getting ready for our own round and just got to start hoping that we don't get frost delayed out.
No, I hope. You know, like I said, I don't think we have rain, and it hasn't rained in a couple days. So hopefully we'll have a drier course. And I'm just looking forward to getting a good round in. I mean, I don't care that it'll be cold. Just bundle up. I'm going to be wearing a couple layers, you know, on top, on bottom. I got the snow hat. I got the face mask.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll pick up some gloves. I don't know. We're going
to
see.
It does feel good to bust out the Golficity winter hats again.
It does. It's not a good feeling, but
well, change up the look a little bit while we're
right,
out there.
True enough. Sure. True enough.
So that'll be fun. Again, thank you everybody for tuning in. You can get to the show notes by going to golficity.com/episode241, or even easier than that, by downloading our free app. Just go to golficity.com/app. That'll give you all the links you need for Android or iOS. Love that app, because not only is it free, not only does it have every single episode. If you guys wanted, you could scroll back to and listen to episode 6 right from there. But we've even got the new feature there where you can bookmark your favorites, and all your favorites are right there in the menu. So if there's something that you're, you know, particularly struggling with, go through, bookmark some of the instruction articles, bookmark some of the podcasts that we've done on it. You can use those as refreshers to go back and listen to them. So that was a feature that you guys asked for, and we've 100% agreed. It's a great idea, and we've put that in the app. So that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, and Frank stayed up for 48 hours straight building that. No,
yeah, right.
we only wish we knew how to build apps, but
I know. Excellent. I know. But we've got a great team who does that, and
yep.
And you know, we present them with challenges like that, and they get
it. They're good. They are good.
And if you guys have any suggestions for the app, I know a lot of you guys are avid users. Let us know in the Facebook group or email us at podcast@golficity.com. Let us know, and We'll be more than happy to consider those. But thank you as always for tuning in, and we'll see everybody again next week.